United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Welcome to the Seminary Explorers. My name is Nelson Strobert, and my guest today is Mr. Clay Pasquale, who is going to be a senior at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa. Welcome to the Seminary Explorers.
Welcome. Thanks for having me, Nelson.
Well, it's good. I'm looking forward to our conversation. To begin with, I understand that you were involved in a program this summer in our nation's capital. Which program was that?
The program I'm in is at the Fund for American Studies, and it's TFAS for short, and basically it has several institutes within the program that you can apply for, and I was admitted to the Institute on Business and Government Affairs, so that's the institute I'm currently in.
What motivated you to want to spend the summer in hot Washington, D.C.?
I've always been really into politics. I'm majoring in political science and strategical political communication back in my school. So I'm really into politics. I wanted to come out here and network with people out here so I could learn more about how things work in D.C. and how just gain more expertise on the political process here in D.C.
Okay.
So I'm a political junkie.
Fine.
Yeah.
But specifically, you were involved in a particular agency.
Right.
Which agency was that?
Right. Well, I'm currently an intern with the Healthcare Leadership Council.
And what do they do? What is their responsibility?
So the Healthcare Leadership Council is a group of about 50 healthcare companies, and it's a variety of healthcare companies, insurance companies, healthcare distributors, pharmaceutical companies, companies that make medical devices that we use for x-rays and stuff. And so there's about 50 companies in the group. They're represented by their chief executives. And the Healthcare Leadership Council advocates on their behalf to Congress about their issue priorities and what they want to see passed to help improve healthcare for all Americans.
Right. Okay. So that and healthcare certainly is in the news. Mm-hmm. In our newspapers as well as on our television news as well. How do you think your views on healthcare changed while you were as an intern?
I think that I now have a lot. I think first off, with the current healthcare debate, we focus a lot on the coverage involved with healthcare. Whether people have insurance, which I think is still really important. But I think also I learned more about the cost element of healthcare and how we need to bring down the underlying things that are driving the health, that are driving the cost of healthcare up in order to really address the problem. For example, with the baby boomers retiring now,
right.
There's really an increased need for, there's really an increased need to treat chronic conditions diabetes and especially Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yes,
are increasingly problematic diseases that are affecting old folks and causing rising health costs. So we can start getting ahead of those diseases and find treatments for those that are really drive down healthcare costs for everybody and make it a whole lot easier to get everybody covered.
Okay. Now, what was the manner in which they helped you to be informed about these issues? What did they have you do as an intern?
Right. Two things basically. One, I worked on a lot of their communications materials, so I would update their talking points that they use for advocating their issues before Congress and before staff people associated with Congress. Helped with their press releases and updating their newsletter templates that they used. And then the other thing was they would send me out to briefings on healthcare issues out in D.C. and to committee hearings, and then I would write reports on those about what I'd heard. And
could you share some of the what some of those briefings were?
I think one of the most memorable ones was when I went to this briefing at the Bipartisan Policy Center a week or two ago, and it was about long-term care for elderly folks,
right.
Because that's an increasingly pressing issue, as I said, with the boomers retiring. That was really interesting. There was a woman there who told about how she had to care for both of her parents who had gotten dementia, as well as her husband's mother. So three out of the four of that couple's parents had dementia. And then also the former Senate Majority Leaders were there, Tom Daschle and Bill Frist. So I got to meet him and take selfies. So.
Okay. In getting oriented, it's one thing going to the briefings, but you have to, you're right from school, you know, you're finishing your junior year, you come to Washington. Was there an orientation to Washington, D.C., and to the environment that you'd be in? And was that like? And what was that?
Yeah, well, yeah, TFAST was very helpful in, like, getting me and the other students, like, acclimated D.C. We had this big, like, D.C. scavenger hunt we did in our first days here, where they sent us, like, a bunch of different, like, sites, like, take pictures with stuff so that we know where everything was in D.C. We also took a nighttime bus tour of, like, the Washington Monument so that we got, you know, familiar with the National Mall and stuff happening down there at the Smithsonian's, because that's where a lot of people like to spend their time with the sightseeing. So that was really cool. And then, we had our transportation orientation, too.
Transportation orientation?
Well, you know, well, because, you know, a lot of folks, they have trouble getting around on public transportation sometimes if not used to it. So learning how to use the metro.
That can be a difficult task.
Yeah, you end up going one way when it go the other way. So.
Right. As you look on this this time, it was going to briefings, being oriented, but you also had class, a class or classes. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I had one class I was taking. I'm just finishing up now. It's on the economics of regulations. And basically what the class is about, like, the economic impact of regulations that, you know, government agencies put in place, and, like, whether the regulations do more harm than good in keeping us safe and healthy.
Okay. I guess the question for me, as you did this internship, was how have your ideas about healthcare in these United States changed?
Well, I mean, I think just that, I mean, first off, like, I'm still, like, a huge supporter of, like, the Affordable Care Act since, like when I got here. But I think, like, there definitely needs to be, like, improvements made.
Improvements to the Affordable
Care Act. Yeah, the Affordable Care Act. I think that, you know, getting more people covered under, like, Medicaid, because some states still haven't expanded it yet. And also, like, doing more to build, because the ACA did a lot of stuff, it had a lot of different, like, experiments it tried to, like, help bring down costs for healthcare. But there's still more that we can do to bring down the cost of healthcare, because if we bring down the underlying cost of healthcare, then it's going to make it a lot easier to be able to provide it to more people if it's not as costly. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's pretty simple math there.
Sort of.
Yeah, it's complicated, actually.
Were there ideas that were shared with you and the other interns about bringing down the costs?
Right. Well, I think... Oh, yeah. Well, of course... With prescription drugs, like, making sure that people are taking the drugs that they're prescribed, like, according to schedule, because that's actually a big problem where people are not, like, they're not taking their medicine, like, when they're supposed to be taking it. And so, like, there's new apps now that are, like, that, you know, hospitals and medical providers are using that help people, that remind them when to, like, take their medicine. Because if people take their medicine, they're less likely to be admitted to the hospital again, and then, you know, you avoid all those hospital costs.
Right. Okay.
So
that's
a big thing, like managing conditions, especially chronic conditions, effectively.
Right.
Is key.
Okay, but there are any other ways in which you saw or you heard that we could reduce costs?
Oh yeah, well, like, telehealth is a new major thing.
Okay, you'll have to explain that to me and to the listening audience.
All right. Everyone knows telephones, so, like, telehealth is basically, like, the idea that especially like in rural areas where there's not as much, not as many medical facilities and doctors around. It's where specialist doctors can like Skype in to an area,
okay,
and like dispense their medical advice and tell people what they should be doing to keep healthy or address like a certain condition that they're specialized in, instead of the doctor having to come out and visit and treat those patients. Because obviously the doctor, that's a useful, like, go out there and treat like one or two patients, but like if there's like a ton of patients in a metro or an urban area, it's kind of like, you know, you have to pick and choose here. So with telehealth, it makes it a lot easier to make sure that folks in more rural and sparsely populated areas are getting their needs addressed.
Okay, that sounds interesting, and also one of those necessary things in this day and age, but mm-hmm. also making use of technology.
You're right, yeah. Technology is key. I mean, the healthcare industry has had a problem with transitioning from like paper records to like electronic records. So obviously, the sooner we can get to everything really electronicized, if that's a word, the better, because then it'll be easier to make sure that all the patient's information is being kept up to date. And so, like, you know, when a patient goes to see like a different, like a specialist, like the specialist doesn't have to ask like, oh, what are you here for? They'll already know, because they'll have this electronic record of like their past health history that they can look at. So it's a lot more efficient if we can get the healthcare industry to really get all these electronic records up to date.
Right. Very much so. It seems to me that one of the issues is that in terms of healthcare, mm-hmm. is helping people to understand.
You've spent this
summer uh-huh. working and getting to getting really background in the healthcare industry.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of us, the lay people and non-medical people, you know, it's when we hear this stuff on the news, it becomes very confusing. What do you think, from your experience, what do you think might be helpful for those of us who aren't in the forefront of this industry to understand what is going on in the conversation that we hear on the news?
Right. Well, I think just, you know, well, first off, like, there's a ton of, like, free webinars online that you can go into and listen to. They'll bring you up to speed on a lot of these healthcare issues and kind of help simplify it. I think also just kind of reading up on the news on like the healthcare issues as they come in is helpful.
In our newspapers, you know, newspapers, you mean?
Yeah, well, also like online too, especially like there's several websites like The Hill, Politico, The Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, that have online, like, they have like their health and wellness sections. Their articles are written a lot more in a more simple manner than like some of this jargony language I've been throwing around.
Oh, so okay.
That would be a good place to start, I feel like, with those kind of new online news outlets, and then maybe move into like some of these free webinars I was referring to.
Okay, as we're involved in this conversation, I'm curious as to what do you think the benefits have been for you involved in this program?
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of benefits. One, just like getting to know DC and looking around it, so if I end up moving here later, I'm already really well acquainted with the city.
Right.
Obviously, the networking has been key, like meeting up with all sorts of different people across the political spectrum and mm-hmm. And getting to know them. Obviously, the healthcare Leadership Council has been great for giving me a much deeper understanding of healthcare issues than I had coming in here with all these briefings I've attended.
Right.
So I have a lot.
How did that
change? I feel a lot more wonkier now than I was when I got here.
Okay, how did that change for you?
Your
ideas about healthcare.
Right. Well, I mean, it changed, like, it just made me realize, like, how well, how even more complicated the healthcare system is than I thought going in, or how many different new phenomena are arising that can really change the future of healthcare that we never hear about in the news, like telehealth and also the social determinants of health. I haven't brought that up yet.
Yeah, say something about that.
Right. Well, yeah, social determinants of health. Basically, it's looking at like socioeconomic factors. For the communities people are, you know, living in, and seeing how those can like shape how their health turns out. Like obviously their income, also like their education level, and like what kind of food they're getting from the supermarket and stuff. And also like whether they have like open community spaces for like exercise and stuff, like nice parks and stuff. Like
I don't think about those things.
Right,
healthcare. I think about the doctor and the office visit.
That's part of the problem. Like folks are so concentrated on like just the actual like medical care that like we're not looking enough at the socioeconomic determinants that come before you get to the doctor's office that could like improve your overall quality of life and keep you from having to get medical care in the first place. It's like another form of preventative care, except when we refer to preventative care, we normally mean like, you know, prescription drugs.
Exactly.
and like vaccines and colonoscopies, etc.
Right.
Mammograms.
Exactly. You accumulate a lot of information.
Yeah.
You experience, you know, the briefings, etc. Was there anything during this period that troubled you, or that disturbed you, or that challenged you?
Well, right. I mean, in regards to healthcare, obviously, I'm really troubled by, like, how, like, partisan the debate is right now. And that, you know, we don't have much cooperation right now between the parties to, like, improve the healthcare system. Like, I mean, this debate we've been having the past few months is actually, like, even without a bill being passed, it's harmed the healthcare sector because it's caused a lot of uncertainty for insurance companies.
Right.
So they're raising their premiums for people, so it's going to make insurance more costly for people who are enrolling in the healthcare marketplaces next year, later this year and into next year, whether or not a Trump care, as they call it, is passed. So it really, I would hope that once the Trump care bill is finally defeated, that Democrats and Republicans can come together and pursue some more bipartisan solutions to healthcare, because I think that's the direction we need to go in. So.
Okay, so the partisanism that's taken place has really been problematic for you and for the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. You're finishing up this internship, and I'd like to know, have you thought about what you're going to do in your senior year? Has that affected what courses you might take in your senior year and the course of your own vocation?
Right. Well, yeah, definitely. I'm already thinking about, so I have to write my honors thesis in the fall for the honors program I'm in at my school. And I'm thinking I'm going to write it about, like, the social determinants of health that we were discussing earlier, because it seems like there's a lot going on in that field. I just Googled it the other day, and there's, like, a ton of scholarly articles about it. So
there's
definitely a lot of material to work with, and it's a 30-page thesis, so it better be. So I think that's already one way that this experience has kind of affected what I'm going to do my senior year. This was kind of before I got here, but there's a kind of a student-run think tank that's being formed on my campus, and they wanted me to join it and work on like healthcare issues. And so now that I have all this additional experience, that would really help me with this
certainly.
New effort.
Very much so. And for those in your own age group, or parents or children in your age group, what do you think the benefit of being in this program or similar program around the country, what is the benefit for the college student?
Well, I think obviously there's the networking aspect. Also, it gives the college student a chance to really see like what they enjoy and like what they don't enjoy about, well, DC and like politics or whatever field in particular they were coming here for DC for. So it kind of helps with the process of elimination too, of like what your future possibilities are, so that okay. you don't, after you graduate, you come to DC, it turns out you don't like what you're doing, like, you know, then it's kind of difficult. But so it just gives a good sense of like what you're gonna do after school coming here
before. Cool. Very
before,
good.
You graduate.
Well, I can't believe our time has run out.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you for sharing your time
well,
with
thank
us.
Thank you, Nelson. I really appreciate it.
My guest today has been Clay Pasquale, a senior at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa. And he was an intern this summer in Washington, D.C., and worked in the healthcare issues. For the Seminary Explorers, this is Nelson Strobert. Have a good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.